We came, we saw, we conquered. Tim Vine, Harry Secombe, Jeff Beck, David Bellamy, Noel Coward, Quinton Crisp, James Hunt, your boys took a hell of a beating. Hello, welcome to season two, episode four of the Same Old Wombles podcast. Same Old Wombles is a totally independent, unfiltered, weekly podcast featuring a bunch of football fans talking passionately about the team we love, namely AFC Wimbledon. I'm Mark Lewis. I'm joined on tonight's pod by Matthew Cooper, Niall Cooper, and Adam Proctor. On tonight's show, we'll reflect on our Derby Day delight in the sun at Sutton. It's been an unbeaten start, so do we need to make any more moves in the transfer window? And we'll revisit fantasy AFC Wimbledon five-a-side of the 1980s, back by popular demand. Welcome to episode four. No one doubts the way you feel. No, your passion's very real. I must say we're all impressed the way the fans approach this test. But days have gone when football clubs live and fly just on fans' love. Dave, this isn't just a game, and tough decisions must be made. Oh, Mark, it's beautiful. I didn't actually know Sutton had that many fans. Have you named all of them? And
Boom, boom.
was David Bellamy? David Bellamy.
I'd love to say that I came up with that one, but I found that one on the platform formerly known as Twitter. But I knew Tim Vine was from there. I didn't know
Yeah.
Quinton Crisp was born in Sutton, but apparently so.
Wait a second. Hold on a minute. So what you've done here, these are not all Sutton United fans. These are people that you found who have lived in Sutton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So of all of that, only Tim Vine is actually a Sutton United fan. Am I right?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, the rest probably fly
Oh
Chelsea.
man, that's just, I don't even
But
know.
I think you'll find that when the Norwegian guy who originated that quote came up with stuff, he was talking about Maggie Thatcher and Winston Churchill, and he wasn't talking about football fans. He was talking about people who came from that country or that place.
Yeah,
I think, Mark, I've got to be honest, right? That was probably, Mark, that was probably your best ever intro.
See, I can't
Which
work
is,
out with you
which
lot
is,
whether you're serious or not.
that's,
No, I'm serious. That was the best intro that I've heard. I loved it.
Now, you know that Mark just spent 2 minutes before getting online. That's the reason he was late for this, was he's literally did a Google search. People who live in Sutton.
I think you'll find that some of us were prepared to record 24 hours ago, and some of us weren't here
Whoa.
24 hours ago.
Which brings me to another point, which is, the great thing about our podcast is who knows when it comes out? Who knows what day, how it's going to look, whatever it is. It's just like it's a random thing. It happens in the week. It might be relevant to the matches happened before. It might not be. And you know why? Because we don't have the rest of our tagline. Same old Wombles taking the piss. And that is what that is us.
Yes.
He's not wrong. And frankly, that was a little bit like Saturday afternoon. It's a shame Alex is not able to join us because he was at the game behind the goal. I was in a slightly more salubrious seat in the main stand at Sutton. And it was genuinely joy and fun in the sun.
It looked absolutely amazing. I was gobsmacked. And also, it'd be quite nice to have Alex here because he was the one who was saying, well, if we beat Colchester, we'll lose to Sutton.
That is true. That is true. He was pretty pessimistic.
That was,
So,
yeah.
but to be honest, actually, right now, the only thing that is holding all of us back from getting genuinely excited is the fact that there was so much pessimism in the room, as they say, because of how shit the last two seasons have been. I mean, you look at the Sutton lineup, and there's a really good, I have to say, props to the social media guys. Yeah, at the club, I think there's an intern doing some work there. There's a 15-minute feature, which is all about the game and goes through, and there's a handheld camera with some highlights on the side and so on. And there's a bit that, where they're running down the line of Sutton players, and apart from three or four, they were all 6 foot 3 or more. It was like Land of the Giants week two, immediately after the Wrexham game. But despite
Says
that, we
tall
stood
Mark.
up to it.
If anyone should be able to find
Tall people. You're right, Niall. It's tall Mark.
It is tall Mark. So, like, who do I sit next to, right? Mark Lewis, 6'97". Adam Proctor, probably, like, similar sort of height. Not quite 6'97", but, like, over 6 foot. Martin Drake, who's, like, 6'3", 6'4". Basically, were you all born in Sutton? That's what I want to know. Adam, Mark, really?
We've had this discussion before. I was born in Queen Mary's Road.
Roehampton.
How were you lot, you know?
Yeah,
Roehampton. You're in the Roehampton Sutton ward.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow.
The difference
it was great. I mean, it just looked amazing. And sorry not to be there. Mark, what was it like? What was the vibe like?
Well, the funny thing for me is someone said beforehand that if we'd lost, it wouldn't have ruined the season. But if we'd won, it really could kickstart things. And I think it really did. I mean, to be fair, obviously Sutton hadn't got the plastic pitch anymore. They haven't had that for a couple of years. But they're just a big physical team. And it was that's like old school, almost old school Wimbledon without, you know, the finesse of Glyn Hodges or Dennis Wise. It was get the ball up and you know, play the percentages. And we just looked like a completely different unit. I appreciate you guys have only seen one game, but, you know, you've got a defence now that believes in itself. Still not playing our first-choice fullbacks, obviously, because Jack Curry has a torn hamstring, I believe, and is out to the end of August at the earliest. Biller, obviously, again, is still injured. And we'll come on to reinforcements we may need in a bit. But Lewis and Johnson just look imperious, absolutely imperious. I think they only played 4 or 5 games for Stockport, and they've already played 4 or 5 games for us. And you know, thou shalt not pass, Lord of the Rings style, frankly. Jake Reeves is just strutting around midfield. And Armani Little looks literally twice the player that he was when he came before. And no one had heard of James Tilley a few months ago. And actually, I thought both Bugel and Nerfgon didn't have particularly strong games. And yet, they still set stuff up. They didn't really get booed by Sutton. Sutton crowd was pretty lame, pretty tame, to be honest. And actually, Ali can't buy a goal. And despite all of that, we comprehensively won 3-0.
It was interesting. I am, but listen, what I hear about Tilly, I understood, was at Crawley last year. And I wasn't he one of their best players? I mean, I think if I'm right in saying, I might be making this up. I'm going to go with it, though. I think he might have been their player of the season. I know that they were gutted to see him go to us. And what I'm interested about is Lewis as a centre back. I know he's on loan from Stockport, but I believe didn't he sign a new contract with them as well before coming down here? So he is there. They see him going back there in the long term, which is interesting.
Correct. Unfortunately, correct. I'd buy him tomorrow. Not that I'm in any way influencing any transfers in the club, but I would personally.
I like the fact that, you know, he has his own way of wearing shorts. Which is, you know, I know John Green is going on about quite a lot as well, but that is, you know, I'm not sure that he has to, how he does it to make his shorts so much shorter than everyone else's shorts.
No, it is quite unclear. Is he tucking them into his wife fronts? How are they staying up? It's not clear.
Yeah, and when he wears the gold shorts, see.
I'm not a fan of gold shorts. I'm like that is the Joe Lewis question is the big fundamental one that I think all Wimbledon fans want to know, which is how are his shorts that short? I don't know. I'm totally bewildered. It looks like to me as though he's got child shorts on, and that it must just be immensely tight and uncomfortable, and yet he's playing really well. But
it can't be child shorts.
I'm sure that people.
It can't be child shorts because they've still got to be the width. So that's not, it can't be that. He's either got special shorts made by Umbro, some sort of special sponsorship deal that we don't know anything about. Maybe it's earning us thousands of pounds per game. Or he's tucking them in inappropriately to whatever underwear he wears underneath the shorts.
Or he's got very, very tight legs.
I think Adam's hit it. Adam's got it. Right, because we all know Danny Macklin is like a commercial genius and therefore trying to commercialise absolutely every square inch of Power Lane. So clearly, he's obviously done that and so I'm thinking, can I also commercialise Joe Lewis's shorts? And that has to be it. That's got to be the solution. That's what he's done. He's thought, I've got to make it. How do I make it a USP? The USP of the shorts, they are the shortest shorts in the EFL and they must be sponsored somehow. Of course, we can't see the sponsorship logo because it's so tiny that you wouldn't even know. But it must be, that must be it. Doesn't I want to look in the programme, those who've got the programme, find out who's sponsoring Joe Lewis's shorts because they must be paying an awful lot of money for that.
Yeah. I know that John Green has his logo on all the shorts. He sponsors the shorts. He's not getting value for money on those shorts. I think maybe he's just a fan of the 1980s. You remember the early 80s?
That's true.
That was a style of short that you had there. So, no. Anyhow, I don't want to go on about the short shorts. It's more of a shame that he's signed to Stockport and unless Stockport don't go up and maybe we do, I don't know, then they'll look to cash in, who knows.
I suspect the one immediate thing we will notice is that he won't be available for the Stockport home game, which I believe is the early September.
I was going to give a big shout out to Joe Lewis's sponsors, but in the last programme I got, he has not got all of his home shirt, his away shirt, his third top, his home socks and away socks, no shorts, because they're not actually part of the sponsorship package. No one sponsored him for anything, so...
I can't believe that will stay.
I think genuinely the same old one will have to sponsor his shorts.
The shorts aren't an option because I think John Green has won all the shorts.
But everyone, has he got all that? So he can't sponsor shorts?
No, they're not in the program as an option.
No, the sponsorship options are home kit, away kit, third kit, and that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, and the home socks, away socks.
He can't sponsor shorts. Right, John Green. I want John Green on this podcast to defend how much he spent on those shorts. John Green, this direct appeal to you. Come on the podcast. We want to know how much you spent on shorts. The world, all Wimbledon fans want to know that. That is the key question. John Green, don't back out.
I offer this one thing. John, have all the shorts. But it's clear that you can't properly see your logo on Lewis's shorts. So we will take those shorts off your hands. We will sponsor his shorts.
Great to see Seymour Wombles. We're addressing all the key issues of the day after 3 weeks of the football season. How tight are Joe Lewis's shorts? And can we sponsor just one individual player, even though he has the shortest shorts possible? Because as I've allegedly heard somewhere, he does potentially have extra small shorts, as in he chooses to have extra small shorts, even though he's a fully fledged adult.
Yes, this is it. Same old Wombles taking the piss. Come on.
Quite right, Lewis. Meanwhile, back onto the pitch, Ryan Johnson, beautiful header. Apparently, it's the first goal he's ever scored, or certainly the first goal he scored for us, which is ridiculous.
What, the first goal he's ever scored? That can't be true.
Ever.
No, I'm sure.
Ever. As
well. The internet is our friend. But 20.
Can you imagine that? When it's a child.
Headed challenges.
Can you imagine that as a child kicking around in the playground and like going about to score and just spoons it wide all the way through his whole childhood life? Yeah. Never scored a goal. Most time there, the two light bits, shirts on the shirts for goalposts. There he is going through, open goal, playing against his mates, misses. Never scored a goal. Mark, that is phenomenal. I didn't know that existed on social media, but like, there you go, you've done your research. He has never scored a goal. That's phenomenal. What bad luck until now. Do you think he's going to probably go and, oh, now put the goals down and go into his friend's garden, two shirts down, and he'll just be prolific from now on? But up until that, never scored a goal. Amazing, Mark. Brilliant bit of research.
That's it. More importantly, in case you haven't seen this bit on social media, how many seconds between when Harry Pell comes on and when he scores?
32.
That is quite incredible. But the best bit is Davison comes on at the same time. He goes when he comes on, he goes to high five Ali and, you know, congratulate him for his play. He then goes immediately into the penalty area, plays a bit of hide and seek with his defender, and nobody even notices Pell, who is 6'5". He's not small. And even compared to the Sutton team, he would be difficult to overlook, frankly. And he heads the ball in. Easy as pie. We'd been putting in the same corner, every single corner. And every single corner, it had gone harmlessly wide because nobody bothered coming into the back post.
But you know also why he went mad to JJ was because before he came on, JJ recounted to him a story about the fact that he'd come on at some point and scored instantly from a corner and said, do you reckon you can do that to Pell? Pell runs up, does exactly that. That's why he legged it back to JJ, because literally JJ has said, you can go on and just score. I've did it. And that's what happened.
So pop quiz, why do we never bring a defender on or any player on when we are defending corner?
Well, it's because it could change the shape of the team, so players can get confused about where they're supposed to be, I think. That's my response.
Is it because our scoreboard doesn't have low numbers?
It's actually genuinely happened at Selhurst a long, long time ago. Who remembers a Scottish left-back we had called Brian McAllister?
Oh, yes.
Great. So he came... mentioned it is World Cup going Brian McAllister, one of the few people to play in a World Cup finals. That one.
The same one, and also the same one that was born on a corner once at Selhurst and failed to pick his man up and they scored. So ever since then, and that's 25 years ago.
Was he born in Sutton?
I can see that. I can see the point you don't bring a defender on at a corner. That completely makes sense because you've got a routine about who you're meant to be marking. That makes complete sense to me. At that point, where you've got some practice in, but to bring someone on attacking for a corner, I think that's not a bad idea. To be honest with you, you know, it's not a bad
Absolutely.
Idea. I feel sorry for Ali. I feel sorry for Ali because I think, I mean, I watched the highlights obviously, and the miss, the one against the bar, was just like, oh my giddy. I mean,
if you watch the social media bit that the club have done, which is separate to the highlights. He actually, the chance beforehand, which live looked like a really bad miss. It's not a bad miss at all. He flicks the header. The ball comes across from the right wing from Tilly. And he flicks this header towards goal. Boogle comes running in to get the same header, gets there late and deflects the header that Ali has made that is going in away from goal. But the other one where we hit the ball twice in 30 seconds. Yeah, that was literally just before we scored the first goal.
Yeah.
But also the thing, I think like Matt says, the thing, if you watch the highlights or whatever one or the match day experience, you see it hit the bar for the second time off Ali and he does kind of crumple afterwards and you think, sugar, you know, he needs to score soon because it's clearly knocking his confidence that he's not getting on target. And that is a little worrying because, it's sort of not worrying because it's less likely we'll sell him. So that's good. But we talked about, you know, we want lots of goals from him. So.
And you do wonder how much, because there's obviously rumours going around. I saw rumours today about Barnsley and Rotherham interested in him and us putting a figure of 1.2 million on selling him. So there's obviously stuff going around and obviously, you know, his agent's got his ear at some point between games. So there is something. I mean, I think he's committed to giving 100% for the dot. I mean, he will run around, he will do everything. But maybe there is that something in his mind as well. Like he needs to prove himself. He needs to do well so that he could possibly get this move. And I think someone was saying 1.2 is probably not, to be honest with you, is not a good price for us because I understand Wickham have got a huge sell-on fee. So I'm not sure how much we would really make from that. I think we need to be looking higher than that for him, particularly with the length of the contract he's got, because I think he's now got 2 years. We signed him on 2.5 years. He's now got 2 years left.
Just think how much football fees go these days as well. I mean, like, you know,
yeah,
what's reasonable?
It depends on whether Chelsea are buying. If Chelsea are buying or Saudi Arabia are buying, then add a couple of zeros on the end.
Oh, if Chelsea are buying, you add several million zeros, whatever. You know,
well, you actually do wonder whether, I mean, you know, Qatar League took a punt on Assal, didn't they? And you wonder whether, you know, Saudi Arabian Pro League can't be full of all these, you know, ex Premier League players or whatever. So they're going to, you know, they might, it wouldn't surprise me if another bid came in from there. Now we've got that sort of a relationship. And by the way, Ryan Johnson scored 12 goals before joining Wimbledon, three of which were Stockport, the previous club. So I'm just saying.
Okay. So first of all,
I mean, that's just Wikipedia. That's just, I mean, like, you know, that's just your bog standard basic bit of research, Mark.
Nice to know that someone does some research before they come on this pod. Not just me.
You don't know. You just make things up and hope no one checks.
I get, and the other thing I was going to say, though, with Ali, obviously he's being swapped for Davidson most games, which I think is spot on, works really well, etc. But, you know, if Ali was to go, Davidson isn't going to be able to play it the whole season flat out. And that is my worry with our squad at the moment.
When you say that, Adam, I think for the first time, for a long time, we've got four forwards. Do you know what I mean? I mean, my concern is, like, we do need an extra player, but, like, it's great to be in a situation. We haven't been like that. Four forwards, you think, you know, actually going to do stuff.
And you're saying, no, are you, because this is the thing for me. Are you saying Pell is a forward now? In your mind, you've got the four are Ali, Davison, Pell and Bugle.
To some extent, you could say that. Yeah, I mean, Pell is playing like your old-fashioned number 10. You know, like, he's behind the target man, isn't he? That's where he is. You know, which is like...
He's come on as the target man the last two or three games.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting. I know, Mark, we're coming on to this, but, like, you know, what moves do we need to make in a transfer window? Because, you know, we've got... Arguably, you'd have said our two first choice fullbacks are to come back, Biller and Curry. You would argue that, and then we've got PK coming back. So then you're going to have cover right the way across the back four. We've got strength in depth midfield wise. So you know, I'm interested to know if we were going to go into the market. The only thing I could look at would be another striker. And I mean, you know, everybody wants this, but maybe it's more of a goal poacher.
Whenever you make subs or whenever you change the team around, and obviously we've got pizza trophy games to play as well, you need a different kind of player. So at the moment, as you guys were saying, Bugle is a big target man, comes off, and Pell is a big target person, comes on. Even if we're changing McLean in place of Nerfgaard or McLean in place of Tilly, then similar kind of thing. I don't know that anyone's getting close to Tilly in terms of the fact he seems to be double-footed, you know, but who knows. Right, we'll jump in quickly now and do our little quiz so we can include everybody, and then we'll carry on talking about the transfer window in the absence of those that have other prior engagements. So, we're going to jump in now and do, as we spoke about before, the Fantasy Five-a-Side from the 1980s. And I haven't done the whole of the 1980s, I've done the early 1980s. So same as before,
yeah.
Got one goalkeeper, two defenders, and two from midfield attack. I believe Niall went last time, so Niall can go first this time. So Niall's goalkeepers to choose from are Ray Goddard, Dave Besant, Simon Tracy, Ron Green, and Hans Seegers.
Oh, yeah, that's real hard. So, Ron, it's got to be Ron. No, Simon, no, Dave Besson. Oh, come on, that was easy.
Yeah, it's kind of tough when Besant played for like about 90% of the whole of the '80s. Okay,
I mean, defenders has been quite good in five-a-side though, to be fair. But like they better.
Defenders: Kevin Gage, Nigel Winterburn, Mark Morris, Mick Smith, Gary Peters, Steve Hatter, Dean Thomas, and Andy Thorne. These are really same old Womble's names from 82, 83 at their best.
I'm loving going first. This is so cool because the
wait a minute,
the people
wait a second, Mark.
This is like the last time, Matt. Someone chooses a goalie first, then someone should choose a defender first, then someone should choose a forward attack. You can't have the same person choose the whole side first. That's what happened last time. I got lumbered with the rubbish team. Adam, you choose the rubbish team. It's Swappens. Take your petty brotherly arguments offline, thank you. Nigel Winterburn and Andy Thorne.
Okay. Midfield attack. John Leslie, Wally Downs, Glyn Hodges, Alan Cork, Steve Galliers, Steve Ketteridge, Andy Sayer, Paul Fishenden, Francis Joseph, Stuart Evans.
Fix.
I love Stuart Evans, but I do like that. I'll go with Glyn Hodges and Alan Cork.
No. Okay.
What is the point?
Come
exactly,
on, man.
Adam.
Mr. Fricks.
Exactly.
Mr. Fricks.
It's wrong.
Obviously, we're going to have to let... Adam, go next.
Like, I've got there's no
take much.
Well, you got apart from goalkeepers, which is going to be a poor choice unless you go first. You got a decent choice there.
Right for goalie,
Simon Tracy, Ron Green, and Seegers.
Seegers, obviously.
Okay, midfield. Sorry, defence. Kevin Gage. Who did you choose now?
I chose Nigel Winterburn and Andy Thorne.
Okay, right. So then you've got Kevin Gage, Mark Morris, Mick Smith, Gary Peters, Steve Hatter, Dean Thomas.
Gage and Thomas.
Okay, midfield. John Leslie, Wally Downs, Steve Galliers, Steve Ketteridge, Andy Sayer, Paul Fishenden, Francis Joseph, Stuart Evans.
Downs and Joseph.
Okay. So I'm going to go last, which means I have the worst choice.
Matt, you have to pick John Leslie, just so Mark can't.
I might resign on air if you pick John Leslie.
Right. So remind me the goalies again, yeah?
Ray Goddard, Simon Tracy, Ron Green.
Right. I'm not going to play with any goalie. I'm going to go with three at the back. So, what is that about? I'll go and go. What? Really?
Simon Tracy's
record. I think Simon Tracy's record is played two, lost two, including a 5-1 home defeat against Arsenal. There you go. Choose Simon Tracy.
I've got no choice but to go for Simon Tracy, but in his Sheffield United years. I mean, it's just that Mark, we're having the words about the way that this is operating. Okay. Right, I'm going for I'm to cover for that, to make sure no one actually gets anywhere near the goal. Mick Smith and Gary Peters, because no one's getting through that, to be honest with you. And then who have I got?
They're quite hard, they'll just kick you to death.
Up front, you've got Wally Downs, Steve Galliers, Steve Ketteridge.
I've got Downs.
Sorry. Steve Galliers, Steve Ketteridge, Andy Sayer, Paul Fishenden, Stuart Evans,
John Leslie.
Well, I've got to go. Mitch, I've got to go. Galliers. I mean, in theory, he should be right up there as a first choice. Galliers and
John Leslie.
Now, who else did you have? Sorry, who else was there? Not
Andy Sayer.
Stuart Evans. Stuart Evans. I like Andy Sayer and Paul Fishenden. To be fair.
I like Sayer, but I mean, I think I'm going to have to get Evans in there. You know, I mean, we're talking five aside. So if it's not over the tallest player's head, then that gives me an advantage.
I'd love to see Stuart Evans playing five aside. Saw him make his debut against Moscow Dynamo and score a 20-yard diving header.
Everything will be a header. Even obviously. On the ground, you'll be on a header.
Right, so obviously I'm choosing Ron Greeny goal, the rather portly lower league keeper that we replaced Dave Besant with for a few games after we proved that Simon Tracy wasn't good enough. Defence is going to be Steve Hatter and Mark Morris, Guppy Morris. And up front, Andy Slayer and John Leslie, who is, of course, the best player to play for us in the 1980s and the 1970s. He says, personally speaking.
Who knows who's going to win that tournament?
That would be a very interesting one to fight out now. It would be a drinking game if they did it now, I think, you know, with all those players in their 60s, I think.
That's true.
So let's revisit where we were with regards to Sutton being so wonderful. And actually, we've played now with a core of about 15, 16 players. Even people like James Ball haven't had much of a look in. McLean hasn't come on the field once since his glory in the Coventry game. But we've obviously got to play Forest Green Saturday with Alfie Bendel presumably returning to Blair Lane. And then Chelsea on the Wednesday night. Do we all have our Chelsea tickets organised now? That seems to have gone fairly smoothly.
Yeah, all there. All looking for... When's our the trophy start? Because I know that there are games this evening, aren't there?
Yeah, they seem to be playing them at different times depending on when the clubs are available. There was a game last week. There are some games this week. I thought they would be next week, but obviously we're in the League Cup. So I presume probably the first week of September. I don't know. I mean, it's not a competition I like. It's not a competition I'm in favour of. So therefore, I've never put the dates of the games in my diary.
No, it's an interesting one. I think I'd get interested in it if we got to the quarterfinals.
Yeah, totally.
That's all right. At least he's not claiming to be a hypocrite. He said already before we played the first round, you know.
Yeah, it's.
But if it means that you like the likes of Sasser and McLean and Zanef in goal can play, then fine, great.
And so here's a question: I'm assuming that Nick is our cup keeper, and that is the promise that's been made to him. So I'm assuming that he will start against Chelsea.
Yeah, you never know. But to be fair, I think Bass has done nothing wrong. Zanef played amazingly against Coventry, and Bass has played a few big occasions already, and he's obviously from Sunderland, so he's a lonely keeper anyway. We don't owe any players anything. And I get the impression that if you did play Nick at Chelsea, that Bass wouldn't have an issue, because there seems to be a proper, genuine kindred spirit. Even the players that had been substituted at Sutton were delighted with the fact that Pell coming on and then Tilly at the end were successful and leading us to a comprehensive win. So, yeah, I don't see that being an issue at all.
But we know it won't be. It won't be Broom.
No, Broom's gone. How do we feel about Broom leaving?
Well, from the statement, it sounded like it was a sort of mutual leaving thing, because Broom obviously was no longer being selected as first or second, was struggling with being away from home, and so if you're not being selected, you know, and you're feeling like not yourself, you know, mentally, then, you know, it seems a good choice generally. I mean, I'm disappointed, because I would like to have you know, three kind of decent keepers on the books, just for various reasons. So yeah, I don't know, it's difficult to read into that statement what exactly the score was, but yeah, I thought it was really good. So it's disappointing. It's disappointing to see him go, but it was kind of expected to some degree. So
I think you can look at each of the individual players that have left. So obviously you've got Nightingale, although he's on loan. You've got Woodyard. You've got Broom now, most recently. You've got a bunch of the younger players who were released in the last season. Actually, no one's really lamenting any of them leaving. People seem to get a favourable impression about Broom. But I don't know that, you know, he's the kind of player we would have to pay off, for example. I presume he had a contract at the end of this season. But if you release someone during the transfer window, at least, you know, he's not doing a Ben Foster and trying to be a part-time YouTuber. He obviously wants to play somewhere, and you'd hope that someone around the northwest of England, which is by the sound of it where he's from, would pick him up as an option, either in higher conference or possibly somewhere else in League Two.
Yeah, it was a weird one, because towards the end of last season when he was playing, I think most of us would have put him ahead of Nick, you know, towards the end. You know, there was, you know, we were all brooming. So I genuinely thought that before Bass joined, I thought he might be our number one, with Nick being number two, or there at least been some competition between the two of them. So, I mean, Bass has been great. He's been brilliant. But it was, you know, and I understand, was someone saying there was an ex Millwall who's currently training with us, keeper that's training with us? I heard some.
Yeah, a guy called Brian Sanford, apparently. Millwall released him. He's been training with us. I don't know whether he'll sign the contract. I mean, the interesting laws now for the last couple of years have been, if your number two keeper has not played very much, then you're allowed to actually get in a loany keeper on a 7-day loan type thing. Now, that's not really going to apply while we've still got Zanef, which is why I thought we might not necessarily keep Zanef. But, you know, he'll, if, as you say, if he plays in the cup games, and we've got through in the League Cup as well, so you imagine he's not going to leave unless he plays at Chelsea and suddenly leaves the next day, which would just be bizarre. So, yeah, maybe they're bringing Sanford. But realistically, we probably had kind of 2 1-and-a-halves as opposed to a number one and a number two. And I think everybody agrees, in the case of Bass over Zanef, in the case of Johnson over Nightingale, in the case of Little over Marsh, in the case of Bugle over whoever we had playing up front last season.
Cosgrove. Chislett.
And, well, Tilly over Chislett. I mean, Chislett scored a couple of goals in League One, but I don't genuinely remember being excited by how consistently Chislett produced the goods, as I have been about Tilly. He's like second top goal scorer in the whole of the league.
Yeah.
And apparently he's never scored more than 5 goals in a season, and he's scored 4 goals in 5 games for us.
Do we need to pause the podcast right now for a Wikipedia check?
I'll have a look. I'll check that out. It, yeah.
Just in case, you know.
I said a pound. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't want to call up on this.
We have to fact check ourselves live. It's a nightmare. But no, actually, in terms of like the cup games, I do wonder whether Bass, whether the agreement with Bass is that he can't play any cup games, and so that we have to play Zanef. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because I think Zanef has been generally performing better than he was, for whatever reason. He's sort of lost it last season. But I do wonder if there's an agreement where Bass just can't play any cup games, which is kind could be possible, because of a loan keepers, often they're not allowed to be cup tied. But maybe just the agreement is like a blanket thing. Doesn't matter what kind of game it is. But you know, I guess if Zanef was injured in a cup game, there would be a clause that would allow Bass to come on. But
I'm pretty sure the agreement's got to be that Bass does league and Nick does cup games.
Matt can fact check this, but I think Bass was on the bench for the Coventry game, which would Adam's theory up in smoke.
No, but I'm just wondering whether that's an extra clause. That's what I'm saying, is like you could be cup tied, but maybe just because we don't have that. I guess if Broome was available, that would suggest that he shouldn't even be on the bench, but I don't know.
So how are we feeling about Chelsea? I guess we're going to play. Are we going to play a cup team? Are we going to play a strong team? Are we going to get absolutely dicked because Chelsea will play their strongest team going because they've got nothing else to play for?
No, we're going to get wasted, aren't we? We're going to get wasted, right? We've already sort of half touched on this. Chelsea will play whatever the other half of their 5 million players that they have in their bank for the first half. If they aren't winning 3-0 at that point, they'll throw on some insane speedy people who will just wipe the floor of us. That's what's going to happen. So I'm hoping that there is no major cue for the bar at half-time, so that I can't even really see the pitch for the second 45 minutes because I won't care.
Oh, come on. I reckon we're going to have some really, really tasty chanting, the type of tasty chanting that hasn't been heard or seen for quite some time, that will make what we sung at Sutton sound absolutely choir-like.
I think it's good. I think the atmosphere will be fun. I mean, it will be full on.
Oh, the atmosphere's going to be awesome.
That's going to be the thing. But you know, I mean, we'll play a strong side. I'm sure we'll play a strong side. Chelsea will play their second string, which is still like full of internationals. They'll probably give, who was that? I don't know if he'll be available, will he? Because the guy who they bought in from Brighton for like 115 million.
I see him. Yeah.
I don't know if he's, because I know he got sent off like straight away. So I don't know if he's available for the cup games. But yeah, they won't put a youth side out. They'll mix it up. They'll have some young players, because I think what Gino's idea is to mix youth. He wants to bring young players through. That's his thing. So there will be young people in that team. You know, really exciting talent. So he'll be showing that, and there'll also be some maybe players that he's looking to integrate into the first team, you know, who he's bought over the summer that maybe they just need to get a bit more game time in his system. So whatever he puts out, it's going to be a strong side. So we're going to have to be completely on it. And ideally you want to nick it. Do you know what I mean? That would be amazing. But if not, you want to make sure it's, you know, respectable.
I don't even know if it's going to be respectable, but what I do know is I don't think that matters. It's just going to be a laugh. Like I'm.
Yeah. I think that's the thing. We're just going to go out and enjoy ourselves. That is generally it. Yeah.
That's the thing, and that's the thing for me. It's like football is football, and it's fun. It's at whatever level, right? And okay, we know this is going to be two completely different levels, right? But we can have a great day out because it doesn't really matter. It's not the league. It's somewhere I've never been to Stamford Bridge, so I'm going to enjoy that. You know, and we're going to be packed into the same end. So anyone that's moaning at the end of that game has lost their mind, right? You know, because it should just be fun. And I, you know, it might be a horrible score. I hope it's not insanely horrible. But it would be great if we scored a goal. If we scored a goal, that would be awesome. That's all I'm asking for. Or if we do something that's just kind of, or the ref, you know, something like, I mean, is there going to be, actually, that's a point. Is there going to be blooming VAR because it's at Stamford Bridge or not?
Good question. I don't know.
I hate VIR. Duh. I hope there's not, because that would do my nut.
It would be ridiculous. But yeah, it'll be I hope it is fun in terms of we actually go and play the game rather than actually be so afraid of our own shadow that we don't even try.
Of course we're going to play the game.
We didn't against Tottenham in the FA Cup. And we went to Arsenal a couple of years ago and basically watched it to the bed, as they say, you know, so...
Well, true for the Tottenham game, true. The Arsenal game was a bit more fun. But, yeah. But, no, why wouldn't we?
Who knows? I mean, we don't want to obviously any repeat of anything like happened with Palmer when Palmer wasn't fit but insisted on playing. So the story goes. As long as it doesn't impact the games around it, you know, you've got Forest Green this Saturday, who are a team out of form, not scoring any goals. The way we are playing... We've obviously got to earn the right, and that's what was so good about Sutton, that we earned the right against a big, strong, physical, bruising team. If we can impose ourselves on Forest Green, you would like to think, and this is really positive to be able to even say this, that we will be okay there for a relatively comfortable afternoon. And then we're going to Newport. Newport have done pretty well as well. So either side of that, obviously, we have the Chelsea game. And the Chelsea game is Wednesday, and then they got a trip down to Wales to Newport. So... You know, games are coming thick and fast.
Yeah. I mean, but I think the worry with you know, for me, it's the Forest Green games are the ones are the stumbling blocks. That's the one we have to look out for. You concentrate on that game because I think people are excited about, like we're talking. You know, we're talking the Chelsea game, not the Forest Green game. You know, so and it is exciting. I mean, for fans, I think we've got, you know, we've got a right to be, you know, to get excited about that sort of thing. But the players, we hope that the concentration is the Forest Green. Look out for that. Play your best game there. Because in theory, what JJ's hopefully saying is like, you can play yourself into that team. Because they'll all want to play. So, you know, hopefully that's they're going to use the Forest Green game to...
I'm pretty confident that they will be focused on the next game. You know, it's like, you know, like all of us, we work, you focus on the next day, you know, and we might have big things coming up. Like we will, I know all of us will have big things coming up, but you don't really see those in the same way when you're distanced as a fan. So I'm pretty confident the Forest Green game will be the focus for the team at this point. And of course, that is the bigger focus. You know, sure, we might get some cash from Chelsea, blah, blah, blah. It's a bit of fun. You know, it's not like the game, It's not like anyone's going to be talent scouted in that kind of game. That's not how it works. It's just an occasion. So I would have thought they'd be there. And I mean, I'm quite excited because the kind of domino effect that I thought might start to happen is happening. So I think if we can beat Forest Green, not the Chelsea game is a completely different blip in the, you know, in the system of games, and then go out to Newport, which should be an interesting game anyway. We could have a really good start to the season. I am worried about the depth of our squad and the length of the season and all that kind of stuff. So I just think let's get as many points in the bag as we can from now on and go from there. But I can't, Forest Green.
So where would you, Adam, you say you're worried about the depth of our squad. I mean, I'm not as worried. I mean, where is your worry points? Because we have got a player for every, we've got two players for every position. And people who can switch into different areas.
I agree with that. My worry is the amount of minutes that the first 11 are playing versus the other swaps. And JJ keeps the players on for still longer period than I would like, I think. And I want to see us maybe mixing it up a little bit with the starting 11 just to kind of make sure we've got legs for the whole season. That's my worry. It's not the necessary, maybe it's not the depth of the squad, but more the fitness of the highest performing players. And how do we ensure that we are not in the second half of the season starting with the weaker first 11? Can we kind of mix it up a little bit earlier on?
Well, I mean, I think one of my concerns has always been the amount of loans we've got, and we're not. I mean, I think the worry is if Sunderland, for whatever reason, recall Bass, or Stockport recall Ryan Johnson. Shorts guy, Lewis. That would be the worry for me because I'm almost half expecting it, to be brutally honest. I would almost half expect, because there's usually something happens in January. That scuppers the season.
Well, I mean, what happened with Magemo and Towler, and in particular, obviously, Sal being transferred and all the other loanies that all disappeared, you know, apart from Huddlin, actually, that really did impact us. Huddlin apparently signed a new deal for Huddersfield somehow. So, yeah, you want to be insured about that. I suspect if we do bring people in the next 10 days or so, in the last 10 days of the transfer window, 9 days of the transfer window, then they will be loans. I'd be surprised if we bring in anyone that we're actually acquiring, unless we've got a little bit of money. We know we've got a little bit of money from Chelsea. It'd be nice if it happens, but I think at fullback we need to strengthen. I think it's unrealistic that either Oggs or Biller will play necessarily the whole season. Obviously, Biller's not going to be available for a while. It looks like Curry is A, genuinely injured, and therefore B, not going to be available until after the transfer window is finished, which might be a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
And Lee Brown's done all right. But again, it's not realistic just to expect that either Brown or Pierce will play 30 games this season. And Callum Bye has been injured for a long time. So again, you've got Callum Bye and Pierce in backup, but I think they definitely need another defender and potentially another wide player. If you can have somebody backing up Tilly on the right, like Sasu is backing up Nerf Gun, then that gives you some versatility. I'd like to see maybe Sasu give him a chance in the Pisa Trophy game to play centrally. And we are going to miss Ali for a game. In fact, Stockport home is a bit of a red light on the horizon, because Ali's going to be on international duty and Lewis is not going to be available because we're playing Stockport. Yeah. So that obviously is going to instantly weaken us. But if we can have other players that we've brought on board in the next week or so, who are integrated by that game, which is second weekend of September, then so much the better.
But here's the thing, Mark. It's like you wouldn't look to change our starting 11. So if you're bringing in loan players, the parent club want their loan players to get minutes. So that is a difficult thing. Because we want to give priorities to our players. So if you're bringing in a loan player as a loan right back, let's say, you would expect them to have to start over Oggs and over Biller. And then if you bring in a wide player, you're not going to drop Nerville or Tilly. And the same if you're bringing in a striker. I mean, I think those are probably three positions. I'm less worried about cover on the wings at the moment, but that's just me. I don't want to get to a situation where we're over reliant on low knees, which I think is where Craig Cope has come from as well. Where we've all come from now is a situation where it's like natural. If we can have our own players, let's go down that route. And the fact we've only got two, albeit in key positions, two low knees. But I guess if Bass goes back for whatever reason, then Nick's not a bad backup to have.
No, I mean, I do think for me it's going to be season long fitness is going to be the thing. I just don't know with these players how fit they are for an entire season of this kind of football, because a lot of them are new. We haven't seen them, and that's what I'm worried about.
Well, I mean, and maybe that is when you start to use the January window transfer in our favour to possibly freshen things up or possibly get in.
Based on the recruitment that we've done so far this summer and the initial results from that, I have that much more confidence, A, that these players will be consistently fit and will not be dropping out to 10, 15 games, and also that Cope and Thorne will already have people lined up that they know they can't get now, but they've already potentially got some type of unwritten agreement with a player or with a club or with an agent or all three to say, you know what, if he doesn't get a chance by October, November time, then we'll take him, you know, come January the 5th. By which time, who knows what kind of league position we'll be in and who knows what kind of a good draw we would have got in the FA Cup. But as it stands, that's presuming we get through to the third round. But as it stands, we're in a good place as a club. We're in a good place as a team, a much better place than we seem to have been for the last 18 months or more. And actually, if you are a player who's not getting in a championship team or not getting in a League One team, we don't actually seem that unattractive a prospect, which is a good thing from that.
I know, but you just want to unbalance things unnecessarily, and we don't want to get to a situation of over-reliance.
Oh, agreed. 100% agreed. Which is why if there's an opportunity to bring somebody in as our player, like a Johnson is, as opposed to a Loney like a Lewis is, then I'd rather do that. But the group is good, and they know the kind of player they want to get into the group, which is a really positive place to be. But it's a really unusual for the last couple of years, especially at the same old Wombles, to be in that position where it's a nice problem to have, as opposed to we have to get three loans in the next week because our first team is so dire that we need enough players in place.
I mean, the other fantastic thing about this is, based on the fact that I know nothing about football, either I've somehow fluked it and got it on the money, and that means they already know about it, so they fixed all this stuff with the January transfer window, or I don't know anything about football, and what I'm talking about is nonsense, so we should be fine.
I'm definitely going with option B of those two ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, darlings, I'm going to wrap it up there and say thank you to Adam Proctor, thank you to Niall Cooper, late departed, and thank you to Mr. Matt Cooper as well. We are the Same Old Wombles. That's been episode 4. Obviously, we are sameoldwombles.com and out midweek at some point, varying. Hopefully next week, we will potentially be post-Forest Green and pre-Chelsea, depending on how excited we are. And we will see you then. Thank you and good night.
Man, dig that crazy chick. Oh.